gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. All right, travel day, everybody. Look alive.
God.
Off to D.C. today. Here we go. Okay. Packing for the East Coast in the middle of winter with several black tie events. As you know, I'm just the best packer ever, as I was just saying to Jackie. I frequently get places, and that's what I say. I'm like, oh, a flipper and an earring.
Hmm. Yeah. And you asked me if you could put a DVD into your iPad.
Right. Yeah. I realized that I probably should have done a little tech class before I...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I said, okay, I got a screener because clearly people think I'm dating Jodie Foster.
Sure.
So I have Argo, and I'm like, where does it go? I don't even know if I can play it in my MacBook.
Well, I don't know either because I don't know if the screener is a Blu-ray or a regular DVD. If it's regular, yes, you can.
I don't know. Oh, what's that? Who's that voice? Wait a minute. It's another sexy liberal.
Go to D.C. with whatever you got in your bag. How are you, children? Good morning.
Good morning.
It's freezing. It's snowing here.
Yeah,
it's there's snuggies on the chalk body outlines in New York City. It's so cold.
As cold as
the motherly embrace of Barbara Bush. It's very cold here.
Well, he came loaded for
bear. Waka, waka, waka.
Loaded for comedy bear. Good morning, John Fugelsang. Off to
Good
D.C.
Good morning. I can't wait. It'll be a blast. I was hoping to join you tonight, but now I'm doing the Viewpoint thing, so I will be traveling down via Amtrak tomorrow morning, and we will just destroy this town.
Yeah, let's get it started.
Eat it.
You know what? The anticipation is built to a fever pitch.
And you're not letting us reveal the names of these fantastic surprise guests, which is so cool of you. People have to buy tickets today if they want to know who these surprise guests
should
are.
Should we do hints? I don't
know. I think we should.
One's a major movie and television star.
Major.
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 Okay.
Has been nominated for this.
Yeah, Lee Majors, right.
Uh-huh. Right, it is the $6 million. Stop it! Okay, Chris, Jim, and Jackie opening the show, all four sexy liberals, John, Hal, Aisha, and I, two huge surprise celebrity guests. John, luminaries in the audience, can I just say?
Yeah, please.
Everybody. Everybody who's anybody's going to be there.
I was just on Bill Press's show 20 minutes ago. And
Tom Hartman. I was on Tom Hartman yesterday. He's coming. Carl Frisch, Charlie Pierce,
yep.
Joe Madison. I was on his show. He's coming. Everybody's coming.
Like
Jessica, Steph, my husband and I bought VIP tickets the moment it was announced Sexy Liberal would finally be in D.C. We bought two less esteemed tickets for our adult daughter. Good for you.
Yeah.
All for yourself. Screw her. Okay, my husband's retired 28-year colonel. Had to be a closeted liberal until 2007. Not in the closet of family and friends, but in his professional environment. Needless to say, we're both eagerly awaiting our evening with the most awesome liberals ever. Thank you. Your show helped me save our sanity. You continue to be our happy pill every day. I'm a happy pill.
Aw.
Thank you for being our fearless, happy, hilarious, liberal Pied Piper. With adoration for you, Chris, Jim, Chris, Travis, Jackie, and of course Hal, John, Aisha. They'll be there. Jessica and her colonel husband. And the entire John cast of sexy liberal characters, Rocky Mountain Mike, Shano,
yep.
Sue in Rockville,
yep.
Dana in Maryland, Danielle,
mm-hmm.
Aunt Mary from Ann Arbor.
Yep.
Posse up.
Right. All right. So John Fugel's saying, we're going to take our victory lap, right?
Yes, we are. Yeah, but I think so. It's the great time to retire all those Mitt Romney jokes I can never tell again. Washed away, the same weekend as a hurricane. Washed away, 2 years of work destroyed by you liberals. We could have had something beautiful with Mitt Romney. We could have had a comedy four-year orgy with Mitt Romney.
We could have been comedy contenders.
Imagine if it had been Rick Perry. Oh, imagine if it had been like a Bachman and Herman Cain ticket. Ah, get out the tarp, Satan. The fun we could have had comedically. Instead, we're stuck with this competent Democrat.
John Fugel's saying, so are you a good packer? Are you you have to break, because this is like a combination sexy liberal, I don't even know. We're doing the radio TV show from there Monday and Tuesday. We have
Are you going to be
black
what
tie
studio?
Situations in Bill Press's studio.
Oh, it's a great room. Great room. I've had a lot of fun in that room in the last year. Yeah, well, unfortunately, I was planning on coming down for 4 days as well.
Right.
And I will be having to come back right away on Sunday because I'll be heading along with Governor Jennifer Granholm, Curran's live coverage of the inaugural from ungodly o'clock to holy crap o'clock all day long on Monday.
Oh, my God.
So while you're there, actually, with the real dignitaries, I'll be up in New York City trying to get a hot dog on my lunch break.
Listen, holding down the current fort. That's yes. And that's just fine. By the way, could you bring me my personal comedy, Jesus,
sure.
please? John, mailbag.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Comedy. Take out your organ, please.
Okay.
Melissa in Boonton Township, New Jersey, has a question for the ecclesiastical MOOC.
Yes, my child.
By the way, Sister Simone Campbell on in just a few minutes.
That's right, from the Nuns on the Bus.
With the ecclesiastical MOOC.
Yeah.
Wow. She's wonderful.
Okay. Hi, Steph. Really wish the show could come to the show in D.C. Went to Philly last year. It was so awesome. I peed. A little bit.
That's when Betty opened. That's when the band Betty opened
yes.
for us at that show. And that's the show that I have been talking about a lot when someone pulled a fire alarm 10 minutes before curtain.
Right, because the sexy liberal cause was Planned Parenthood back then.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to shut us down.
Yeah, right. I know John Fugelsang isn't the be-all, end-all when it comes to religion. Cha.
Indeed, I'm not.
Cha, he is. But I take his word over almost anyone else. I'd like to know how he thinks Jesus would feel about the Second Amendment and the overall gun debate. Part of me thinks Jesus wouldn't be against the idea of being able to defend yourself and your family in the event that something horrible were to happen. But most of me thinks he would say, guns are bad, okay, in the best Dr. Mackey voice, because I also choose to believe he had a good sense of humor. On a serious note, I'm not a religious person at all, but through John, I've learned more respect for people who are. He's living proof that sanity and religion can go hand in hand. A lot of your fans back that up as well. He's pretty darn awesome. The world needs more people like him, and all you sexy liberals. I agree, Melissa.
Yeah.
John Fugelsang is the most handsome, romantic, the best thing in the history of everything ever.
No.
By the way, I just said the same thing to Max and Fred, because it's travel day. But you know what I'm saying.
Lovely.
All the handsome.
I'm glad she asked. Well, here's the thing. Jesus, of course, would support sane gun control. Jesus was about doing more with your life than, you know, just having the American maniac community pressure you into putting 30 rounds so you can not have to reload mid-massacre. But our gun-loving friends, our hardcore gun-loving friends, will try to use this one passage from Luke, in Luke chapter 22, to say that Jesus actually supported guns. And it's hilarious because there were no guns in Jesus' time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when Jesus says to the apostles, when I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. And then he says, well, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. And they're saying that that's proof that Jesus said, go out and buy a gun, because he said, sell your cloak and buy a sword, okay? You'll hear this all the time from assault weapon-loving Christians, which is a terrific oxymoron. Think about that the rest of the day.
Well, go ahead and sell your coat in the East Coast in the winter for a gun.
Yeah, well, the story behind the story is that as it goes on, you realize he's totally talking in metaphor because he says, look, the prophecy says we have to be outlaws. So go get yourself a sword so you'll be a criminal like me, and then they'll come and get us all, and that'll fulfill the prophecy. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, hey, Jesus, we have two swords. And Jesus says, that's enough. You don't need to buy any then. And then they come to get him. These guys pull their swords, and Jesus says, put it down. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. The ultimate anti-weaponry, anti-violence quote in the Bible. Jesus surrenders non-violently and heals one of the enemies.
Yeah, that's true. You think if Jesus believed, he would have had reason to.
So again, the day will come when they will perfect penis enlargement surgery, my child, and these men will never need assault weapons again.
I think you're improving now.
Of course.
It's in the Bible.
It's loosely in there. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing.
John Lennon didn't literally mean happiness is a warm gun either.
Mm. So. Well, but it's a fitting we're talking about this the day after Rick Perry says that the solution to people mass murdering our citizens with easily obtained assault weapons designed to kill lots of people really fast, civilians shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Rick Perry says we don't need laws. We need to go to church and pray. So the party of pray the gay away is now the party of pray the AK away.
Right. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Oh, and by the way, we have a Republican lawmaker out here in California, John, who disagrees with President Obama's efforts to prevent mass shootings, saying guns are absolutely essential as part of God's plan.
Sure.
As you say all this time, Jim, who would Jesus shoot?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why God made so many guns. Look, guns are fine and guns are awesome. And you know what? Your well-regulated militia is entitled to as many muskets as you can own. But we have a well-regulated militia, the National Guard. The real bad guy here is James Madison for weird writing in the Second Amendment.
All right.
Sure.
By the way, that's enough organ. I'm already having a Catholic school flashback with Sister coming up. Yes, Sister. he said, this California lawmaker, he said, guns are used an average of 3 million times a year. That's like 6,900 times a day. That's the high end of the statistics. Other people say it's only 200 times a day. whatever the number is, they're used to defend human life.
No, they're used,
but
see, used to take
no, is, the tiny percentage of times guns are used every day are not
tiny
in self. What?
It's he all said, part of the big lie.
They're used to defend our property and our families and our faith and our freedom, and they're absolutely
our
essential
faith?
Living the way God intended for us to live. Really? Let's take
no
a look at the statistics.
No one's coming for your guns.
If you need a gun to protect your faith, you don't have much faith.
Oh, you have no faith.
Seriously.
To protect
like the Pope
your
and his bulletproof faith mobile.
I think she might be a Muslim or Hindu, one of them things.
Oh,
I don't know.
This guy.
What's the difference?
This is a big idea, guy. He has also proposed a school marshal plan modeled after the Air Marshal program that would allow teachers in California to carry concealed weapons. You wouldn't know which one, like the Air Marshals.
Those
huh?
Union thugs? The thugs get guns?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Right. Right. It was only such a short time ago they were thugs. Odd that they wouldn't want to arm them, yeah.
I need to go talk to my fake online girlfriend about all this.
Oh, John Lewis.
Oh, come on. There you go.
Don't drag defenseless football players into this discussion now.
He's all about defense, but go on.
He praised a touchdown Jesus at Notre Dame. Yeah, what a weird story, right?
Oh, man, it's a disgrace. And now you know what's going to happen because of this horrible thing is that Barack Obama and Eric Holder are going to come and try and take all of our fake online girlfriends away from us.
Damn
they're going to make
them.
A limit on how many you can have. They're going to want background checks on your fake online girlfriends, which will be awkward because guys will realize their girlfriends all have penises. And then they're going to come and confiscate them. When you pry her from my cold, dead hard drive, Obama, that's when you can have my fake girlfriend.
You see what he did there? Yeah. He weaved in two stories. Okay.
I think there's a thread of sadness running through that story.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
It is.
And perhaps
and
it's
so
threat
I'm
of real
I'm loath to make fun of him for it because I think he was either duped or he was hiding something or there's just a level of sadness going through this.
Yeah, well, did my life too, so I totally related. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays of Fugles thing on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The left roars back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Dead air, our favorite thing in radio. Awesome. Okay, 22 minutes after the hour. Our computer sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's not our computer. It's
no.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Fridays with Fugelsang, John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau this hour with us. Hello, John Fugelsang.
Guten Tag. How are you?
Doing just fine.
At least we have John.
Yeah. First of all, I realized that I really needed to go to an entire, actually not even just a tech class, like maybe even like a university, because I realize that I'm not a, you know, Hal Sparks traveling with him, John, it's like he's a little.
It's humiliating is what it is.
Right.
I mean, Amish. I'm legally Amish when I'm in a room with Hal Sparks.
Yeah. Exactly. He's because he's like a little tech nerd, and he knows how to travel, and he's got all kinds of
fancy. He speaks in binary.
I wasn't even aware that my DVDs don't go in my, I don't know, iPad, and I can't.
Well, you don't have a slot for a DVD and an iPad.
Excuse me?
Well,
don't you question what my slot can do?
You haven't used it in a while.
Huh?
I'm not touching that one.
You don't know.
I'm
for
not
sure.
The Bidens just canceled for Saturday.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if. Oh, I asked you because you put in an app so that my iPad.
Yeah, you can print from your iPad.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but you said not, but not to my mini printer.
Well, no, because your mini printer is not wireless.
John, hold me. Okay.
Does that mean it's wireful if it's not wireless?
I don't know. All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Kevin in D.C. Hello, baby.
Good morning, Alabaster Angel.
Mm-hmm.
tomorrow can't come soon enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to leave that joke alone.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh.
Me neither. All right. Go ahead, Kev.
I'm actually nervous seeing you when your fantasy steps out of your fantasy world into your reality. It's disconcerting. But anyway.
Not since you carried me across a ballroom in D.C. many years ago.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Looking for a possible encore.
Yes. All right.
But I called because I'm wondering, not the NRA, because they have to know better, but anyone who watches the ad with the president's daughters and that doesn't understand there's a difference between the protection that they need and the average child needs, you know, I know calling people stupid is not politically correct, but give me the politically correct term to call someone who would fall for that.
Oh, it's beyond stupid. It's just disgusting. I think you're absolutely right that they know what they're doing. It's a ridiculous argument, and it's dragging the president's children into something, which John has always been off limits in any capacity, right?
Oh, it was a pretty disgusting ad, yeah. I mean, and again, this is the president with the most death threats against him of any president in history, and they're taking issue that he'd want to protect his children. You know, it's insane. You work in Jiffy Lube, okay? No one's coming to get you, and you don't need an AK-47. It's really simple. It's about priorities. And the fact is that these people think that their hobby is more important than your life.
By the way, I take offense to that. I worked at Manny Moe and Jack.
Ah.
Okay. Dale in Arkansas is the guy that needs an AK-47 because he frequently gets rushed by 40 feral pigs at a time. Dale in Arkansas.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, girl?
Hi, Dale.
I just wanted to give you a call and say hi. I hadn't said talk to you here in a week or so.
I know. You were saying that
we got a lot of flack, didn't we?
That's right.
I love that. I was calling just to tell you that you guys are a motley crew. That
yes.
means you're good.
Thank you.
Also.
Thank you.
And I'm a Vietnam vet. Two tours, and I'm retired, disabled, retired military.
Right.
And anyway,
thank you.
I was talking. I was looking in Sunday's paper, and there were two boys in there that had been shooting some pigs. There was one of them that was a big old sow. The rest of them, there was about six of them that were small ones.
Right.
And I thought, I wonder what they was using. So I started calling, and finally got through to the father of one of them, and he said, "Oh yeah, guess what? He was using my AR-15." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, he's using my AR-15." He said, "If he wouldn't have had it, he said he put six slugs into her."
Oh.
Before she stopped.
Now, Dale, hang on a second. So you were saying you need that kind of gun because feral pigs, sometimes there's 40 of them or something.
But,
right. But somebody was saying, like, don't if you shoot one pig, don't the rest usually run away from gunfire?
They run in every direction there is. What happens is this. If you got a sow and you shoot and kill her, the other piglets get confused, and they will run circles more or less in and out, and going back to her.
Okay, this is turning into a sad Disney movie, and okay.
It's cool learning how the more evolved species act.
Yeah, that's the ferals do that. Regular pig, no.
Well, I meant humans, but go on.
But a feral pig's got more guts. They're a hard animal. I'm gonna tell you. But anyway, that was the reason I was calling. And I'm a member of the NRA, but I'm also a member of the North American Hunting Club.
Okay.
And that.
I don't know why I hear a Sarah McLachlan song in the background of my head.
Hey,
but, uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, and I got the police radio on, so you hear that every once in a while, too.
Okay, all right.
But I say, I'm an ex-law officer also, and, I know how to use a weapon for sure, and I don't overuse any of them. And the
Dale,
how often does
that happen that you get rushed by 40 feral pigs
at
once?
Well, actually, I've had it happen twice in my life, but at my age now, I'm 72.
Right.
At my age now, I can't climb a tree like I used to be able to if there's a big boar. And they
How do you feel about your neighbor's kid having easy access to an AR-15?
Deadly. After I talked to the father, he said, but he went through the whole course, and he was very responsible. I didn't get to talk to the boy himself. Mm-hmm. But he said he trusted him completely with an automatic type weapon, well, semi-automatic, you know.
Just like Adam Lanza's mom.
Yeah, huh?
All right, Dale, thanks. We're out of time, but thanks for calling. I appreciate it, and thank you for your service.
I love you guys.
I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's awesome.
I will remember you. I just see little feral piglets running around. I'm not. That's going to keep me up all night.
He can't climb a tree like he used to. Get away from wild boar.
Okay.
I love him.
Sister Simone Campbell of Nuns on the Bus, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Flying at 7 a.m. from Tampa to Louisville, and we had a two-hour weather delay, so naturally...
Stephanie Miller.
...got drunk.
It's kind of like today.
Friday, party plane. Here we go.
Party plane.
34 minutes after the hour.
Soul plane.
I was texting with my thruple yesterday. Fashion emergency, Jackie Schechner and Melissa Fitzgerald.
Right.
Melissa was doing that. She'd already been yelled at twice, John, by the flight attendant. She's like, shouldn't you? Isn't it time to turn off your mobile device and start drinking now?
When I go all Depardieu.
That's when you urinate in the aisle?
If you want to call it that.
No. Depardieu. Or and become Russian.
In France, I can run on that and win.
Well, he's not French anymore. He's Russian.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. 34 minutes after the hour.
Je suis Russe.
J'accuse. We are trying to locate Sister Simone Campbell. She's on a bus is what I'm thinking, and her cell phone is not.
That could be.
So we will keep trying. All right.
You're either on the bus or off the bus.
Sexy Little John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fugelsang on his way to D.C. tomorrow for the big Sexy Liberal show.
Very excited about this one.
Yeah, I know it, right? And almost sold out like they all are, so mm-hmm. I would hurry and get those last remaining tickets. Oh, we found her. Okay, hooray. We have been so excited about this, trying to get her forever and ever. Yeah. Dr. Simone Campbell of
Sister
Simone. Sister. Why am I'm so excited. I've given her more titles. Sister Simone Campbell of Nuns on the Bus. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning.
I was saying I'm having a Catholic school flashback. If you know how many times I've said good morning, sister, in my life.
Oh, my glory. Well, I'm a lawyer, not a teacher, but I did go to Catholic school, so I understand.
Yeah. Well, I've obviously been, such a huge fan of your work and everything you did and talking about Paul Ryan's budget and how, that's a moral document, a budget.
Absolutely.
And thank you for speaking out about gun violence. Talk to us about what you're doing now.
Well, what we've realized is that the gun violence is a serious problem in our cities and in the whole country. And so what we have done is seen the links between safety for our society, especially in low-income communities. I mean, when we heard that over 900 people have died by gun violence since Sandy Hook, that horrible event at the elementary school, we realized this is a huge problem for our society and is undermining our Constitution. So we said we have to step up. We've got a lot on our plate, but this is one issue that we need to speak up about. So we're doing it.
Absolutely. And, Sister, it's interesting. I don't know which statistic you hear that sounds worse, but I don't remember who it was that said, I think it was one of the parents in Sandy Hook were saying 85% of the children that are killed in the world are killed here. I mean,
my glory. I hadn't heard that one. Oh, my glory. Yes.
Yeah.
Though I must say that I did get to be at the president's unveiling of this program. And when he spoke of the one child, Grace, mm-hmm. whose picture he keeps in his private study, I thought, oh, my heavens, that's it. When we have a specific person who is lost to all of us, whose gifts are lost to all of us because of this senseless violence.
That's right. I mean, when you see the pictures, you're right, Sister. It's the parents of one of the, I don't know if you saw, Rachel Maddow did an interview with the parents of one boy. And I mean, it was just, it's so heart-wrenching, all of it. But them talking about that, being his parent, it doesn't end, that they will always be his parent and that they feel this is part of their responsibility as parents to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I personally, my sister, who was a year and a half younger than I, died of Hodgkin's disease when she was 20. And here I am all these years later, and there's still this hole in my life that her death left, but we knew it was coming. We understood it. It was disease. And to have people so suddenly, senselessly taken from our families, I just can't even imagine the pain of that.
Well, that's right. I think that, and that's why I have hope, at least, I don't know about you, that this time will be different. And if it's not, I don't know what to say about our country. Do you? I mean,
I know. It is time we stand up and say that the Constitution is bigger than one amendment. The Constitution is about all of us coming together for the common good. And the common good, obviously, does not include senseless violence like this.
Sister, we have John Fugelsang is here, who we call our ecclesiastical mook, and he can tell you why.
Good morning, sister. I'm a longtime admirer, first time suck up on the radio. And I want to thank you for your service. You know, I'm the child of an ex-nun. My mother was with the Daughters of Wisdom for 16 years, working with lepers in Malawi, Africa.
Wow.
My as a nurse, my dad was a Franciscan brother teaching history to Catholic boys in Brooklyn, dressed like a lost Jedi knight. And I really think that you have really done a beautiful job of reminding our conservative brothers and sisters that if you want a government based on Christian values, if you really mean it when you say that, Christian values doesn't just mean I'm in God's special club, so I want what I want when I want it. Christian values as a government policy is Matthew 25. Are you taking care of the sick? Are you taking care of the poor? Are you taking care of those in prison? And are you not starting the violence? And for me, I'm all for government based on Christian values if you're going by what Christ actually talked about and not what people think. Jesus never once mentioned how the poor are lazy, or how we have to, you know, have a tax cut for the wealthiest Nazarenes, or how a leper should give me a copay.
Sister, you know, I asked John about, there's a Republican lawmaker out here. I mean, you're used to a lot of people in the Republican Party claiming God is their own and religion is their own. He said guns are an absolutely essential part of God's plan. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't see them in the Bible, so I'm not
quite
sure.
On the second day, he created AR-15s.
Yeah. But I do think that this is one of the real challenges that we're facing, is that this gun ownership comes out, it seems, I mean, apart from the legitimate sports use of guns and that sort of thing. And, well, I grew up in Los Angeles, so I'm not a hunter person, you know, it just doesn't happen for us there. But what I did realize is that so much of this hoarding of guns comes out of a fear-based perspective. Mm-hmm. And so much of the conservative rhetoric comes out of fear and pull up the drawbridges, take care of myself, be isolated. And to me, that's the antithesis of any faith, but especially of the Christian faith, because Jesus is all about the community.
Sister, what is your opinion as to why, you know, this version, at least, of the Republican Party has gotten so obsessed with things that Jesus didn't talk about, right?
I know. I wish I had the answer to that. It would make my life a lot easier here in D.C. if I understood it. The thing that I've been thinking recently is that there has been, you know how when something gets really out of balance, it's because there's no enough of a countervailing push that we can find a way through. And it's like no one has told them, no, stop it. This is wrong.
Right.
And so, and they need to hear it from their own party, because if I say it, well, we don't do partisan work. We're more identified with progressive political values and certainly progressive faith values. But the fact is, the Republicans need to reclaim their party. I hope that they do it.
That's what I always say. You know, we have, I'm sure, you know, obviously, someone you know, Reverend Jim Wallace, on all the time. And
oh, absolutely.
What you just said, that's what makes it hilarious to me, is he's considered, you know, by Fox News, oh, this crazy liberal, you know. And, I mean, honestly, you guys talk about what Jesus actually talked about. And you're, you know, I mean, and somehow, how is that considered progressive? Right? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, I think maybe the challenge is to start with the gospel, not to start with politics. And if you start with politics, then you trim and shape everything to fit into your worldview. But when you start with the gospel, then you run into all kinds of challenges that open up the world as opposed to closing it down.
Yeah.
And we're not too good at doing that.
Well, they always say that, you know, the Republicans always try to make it about God, guns, and gays, right? And it is interesting that Jesus didn't say anything about gays or guns.
Right. Quite a bit about God, though. So.
Yeah, quite a bit about helping the poor. And that's why, you know, what you were saying about Paul Ryan's budget is so resonated. And that's what, you know, Jim Wallace always talks to us about. You know, a budget's a moral document. Look at in the midst of this debate, sister, we have people that are consistently wanting to strip funding from mental health, talking about how it's not guns, it's all mental health.
I know, I know. And among the more horrifying things is the effort to prevent us from getting any real data about the mental health realities and what do trigger these horrible mass killings. The NRA and the gun manufacturers have slipped into a bunch of different bills all the prohibitions against just basically gathering data. Yeah. Because they know data is power to undercut their sales or their control. And I think we as a nation who value education, who value understanding situations, who say we want to change this dynamic, the very first thing we have to start with is gathering data, understanding what's going on.
Well, right. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to go, oh, they don't want us to study that because it obviously they know it will prove our point, right?
Absolutely. No. Right. I was in a meeting with the vice president, and he said that his first years in Congress or in the Senate were when the automobile industry was lobbying against gathering data about car safety.
Yeah.
Because they knew it was going to have to make it, they would have to make a change as a result of it. And
yeah.
Finally, when the data was gathered, the nation said, "Oh my glory, we can make safer cars than this."
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, look at the things, you know, we used to scream about. You can't make me wear a seatbelt or stop talking on my cell phone or text. And then it's like, well, yeah, we can because you're killing people. I mean,
yeah.
It is the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
Sister, it is really such an honor and a pleasure, and so glad we finally got a chance to talk
to you.
I'm
glad it worked out. This was great.
Thank you so much, and continue your great work. So appreciate it.
We'll keep at it.
All
thank
right.
you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Sister. Sister Simone Campbell.
Love her.
Awesome. Oh, my glory.
I
That's
love
gonna
that.
Be, I'm stealing that. That's my new catchphrase. You're going to have to fight me for it, John Fugel, saying, my glory. All
oh,
right.
My glory.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Finally, talk radio you can dance to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That's a song you don't hear much anymore.
No,
wow.
But we just talked
That's
to Sister
awesome.
Simone Campbell.
Dancing in Heaven.
So,
get it?
Flarg! And we have the Ecclesiastical MOOC.
Oh, my glory.
Fridays with John Fugelsang. 50 minutes after the hour. Let's see. Aaron in San Pedro, California. Staff getting ready for work and packing for D.C., too. I got to see my boyfriend, your show, Inauguration on the Mall, and D.C. in winter. Yay. How's that for a great weekend? My luggage isn't that big, and my warm East Coast shoes are huge and take up too much room. Something has to go. The formal wear lost. Can't wait to see the show. Will Jim be there? Yes!
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
Yay.
Will be there. Yeah, you have to make those Sophie's Choice packing decisions, don't you? Just
I don't like
yeah.
no,
just
I don't
like
need
Sophie's
shoes
choice.
In winter.
I don't like packing a suitcase for winter time.
Neither do I. I don't. It's confusing for those of us that live in LA.
I don't have use for seasons.
Because you need the casual, cold weather stuff.
Yeah, and it's all bulky,
fancy,
and
right.
Yeah.
You guys have weak immune systems. That's all I can say. I'm freezing over here, and you guys are. I don't have use for weather. Damn you!
I don't have use for seasons, is what I say.
Exactly. I don't understand. Why must the season change?
I like it 75 degrees all year round. Thank you.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike will also be in the hizzy at the D.C. Sexy Liberal Show Saturday. That's what it's tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. January 19th at the Warner Theater. Very few tickets remain for the little, you know. Mm-hmm. He's on harmonica on this,
I want to live a liberal chick. I've been a pining for a fart joke show. She's drinking box wine for such a long time.
Yeah.
She's been working on a fart joke show.
Yeah.
And she's not that old.
Oh, that was nice.
Steph's been working on a fart joke show.
Stop.
And she's not that old.
Wow. He's good with his mouth.
Yeah. Oh,
the only tour with fart jokes and sart jokes. Something for each hemisphere of the human brain.
Wow.
We were doing a joke about the, or we were talking about the inaugural poet.
Yeah.
He's a young, gay, Hispanic, yes. And I said it would make E.E. Cummings start writing in all caps. And see, that was a smart joke.
That was a smart joke.
It's a Mensa meeting with fart jokes.
You win. That was awesome.
Oh, God. He finally figured out that key on his typewriter.
Yeah, the all caps key.
Keith in Texas, you're on with John Finkelstein. Hey, Keith.
Hey.
Hi.
Great to be on with you guys.
Thank you.
Particularly with you, John, because we're just thrilled to death that you've got a viewpoint.
Well, thank you.
My wife and I just can't get enough of you.
You're
the other night, you showed a picture of Reagan and Brady being shot. That proves that the NRA's suggestion that a bad guy, you enter a bad guy with a gun with a good guy with a gun. There were six good guys with guns.
Thank you.
The Secret Service agents.
And what do you do about a bad guy with a gun lobby? That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. But, you know,
and you're right. That was
with guns there, and they didn't stop it.
Yeah. Exactly right. Also, there's lots of good guys with guns, but the good guys with guns aren't prepared all the time for a sneak attack from someone who has easy access to a gun civilians don't need.
Yep.
Can you imagine what that guy could have done with some of our modern weapons if he would have, you know, attacked Reagan and Brady with them?
Yeah, we're just making people more efficient. We're making mentally ill people that shouldn't have guns more efficient at killing. That's all it's doing. It's just making it easier, right, John? I mean,
yeah, I'm with General McChrystal on this, you know. And again, it's like it's all about these guys don't want the American maniac community to have to reload mid-massacre. That's what Wayne LaPierre is fighting for. Mm-hmm. I got nothing against guns. Guns are great. Second Amendment's great. But there's nowhere in the Second Amendment that says the Founding Fathers want private citizens to have access to weapons that kill lots of Americans really fast.
Yeah. Vice President Joe Biden talking about, why I hope at least this time is different.
That tragedy in all my years in public life, I think, has affected the public psyche in a way that I've never seen before. Parents in the streets panicking, trying to find out if the child they put on the bus in the morning had any prospect of getting back in that bus and going home that afternoon.
You know, that somebody was describing that yesterday, John, and I know you're a new parent, and I can't even imagine they're, you know, gathered at the, where was it, the place where they were, you know, and some of the kids were coming in, and, you know, I think one of the teachers said, we realized we didn't have enough kids. So there's, can you imagine being those parents going, where's mine, where's my kid, and, you know. I mean, it's just hard to even wrap your brain around, isn't it?
And it's preventable. The majority of NRA members support background checks at gun shows, and these guys don't. You know, the NRA
leaders don't
represent the NRA.
That's right. That's the thing that that kills me, John, is that they allow them to go on mainstream media and say things that are not true. What's his name? The other guy, the President Keene. He's, we've always been, you know, generally supportive of background checks.
Generally supportive.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God.
No, you haven't. Oh. You have fought them at every turn, in every state, right?
Yeah, and the rationale is that, you know, I should be able to sell guns to my friends in a free country, right? And it sounds fine on the surface. We had this gun lobbyist in the Independent Gun Owners of America who was in the Biden meeting on Viewpoint last week, and he goes, if I want to sell guns, I know my friends. I should have a right to do that. And I'm like, you can't sell a car to your friends without letting the state know you just did it, and cars aren't designed to kill people. So, no, you can't do it.
Right.
And the bullet should be registered
here
as well.
Here it is. David Keene, the NRA president, he's on CBS this morning. He says they've generally been very supportive of background checks.
By generally,
they have
mean
fought
never.
To maintain the gun show loophole. And he said Keene dismissed the president's proposals as feel-good proposals that don't work. And just for the facts, far from being open to background checks at gun shows, as Keene suggested, the NRA would raise alarm wherever states sought to end this loophole. Still, the gun show loophole, not the whole story. Thanks to the NRA, at least 11 states automatically restore ex-felons access to guns once they serve their term, and many states allow violent felons to petition for firearms. And here's another new poll, New York Times, CBS, over 90% of the country, including Republicans and gun owners, agree on this this gun violence prevention measure.
Again, we are not the NRA management. We are the majority.
Yes. Thank you. Let's go to Carol in Pennsylvania. You're on with John. Hi, Carol.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I would like to reference the Stockman NRA McVeigh connection.
Yep.
I don't know if you're aware of it. But
he's the guy that wants to impeach.
Got back in office after all he was involved in 94 and voted out in Texas. I will not know. And I think some of these people like Ted Nugent making all these threats, why aren't they arrested?
He sure treads the line in terms of what sounds like a threat. I believe the Secret Service did go talk to him after his last comments.
Ted got a visit.
Yeah. Carol, Stockman is the congressman that wants to impeach the president over this.
The one from Texas, right?
And what was he involved in that you just alluded to?
In 94, he was involved with the NRA and the McVeigh bombing. And he called the NRA as soon as the bombing took place. And a lot of people were very suspicious. And obviously, from what I hear, there was a big debacle in Texas, and they actually voted him out, and now he's back because now he fits in to the mindset of the Congress.
Yeah. Oy. 58 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang, see you in D.C. Love you, baby.
I'll see you in D.C. Have a great day, kids.
All right. Bye. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, we're such a bunch of radio geeks.
I know.
We literally are not equipped to do anything else in life.
Nope.
Jim, did you hear us reminiscing? Remember on the old show, we had all the bits on carts, and you'd have a stack before the show, and then you'd hand them to me, and then sometimes we'd knock the stack over, and we didn't remember the order.
And you'd be like, good luck with that!
And they weren't labeled at all, so you had no idea.
No, they were kind of labeled-ish.
Dear God. See, no wonder we're so discombobulated about traveling today. We're not used to being outside of a little padded room with just each other, where the clothes are involved in the... Winter clothes are involved in it. Fancy clothes are involved. Fancy clothes and radio don't go together.
Yeah. Winter clothes and fancy clothes, I own none of.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting.
It's like, that's what radio conventions are like. Yeah. Just a bunch of awkward geeks that are not used to being
in Hawaiian shirts. Awkward geeks in Hawaiian shirts.
They're not used to being out in padded rooms alone by themselves. Ah. And we're all just like, hi, how you doing? Okay. So this D.C. trip has just got us all. It's got us all. Ugh. All right, because one of the only events, but it's the event, it's Sexy Liberal Palooza, ladies and gentlemen.
Four years ago, we witnessed the first inauguration of President Barack Obama. In November, America decided one term just wasn't enough. This time around, Stephanie Miller and her team of two-term comics are coming to make this a party D.C. will never forget. On January 19th, just 2 days before Obama's second inauguration, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and the goddess of liberals, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. And if you want to skip the fees, stop by the Warner Theater box office at 513 13th Street Northwest. The Teabaggers lost in November, so Stephanie is going to do her thing before the inaugural ball.
That means two things.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live in D.C. Inauguration Weekend. For more information, go to SexyLiberal.com.
Yay! All right. By the way, and Sexy Liberal Tour Director, high-strung tour director Roland Scahill is too high-strung to talk to me at this point. Because he's got so much going on. So I don't know how many tickets are left, but not many. They all sell out, and it will sell out.
So get them while you can.
Yeah.
Also, my friend Jeff, who lives in D.C., whom you met.
Oh, my boy toy.
Yes, he says, hearing you guys complain about cold weather is so funny and prompts severe eye rolling.
Whatever. All right.
And then he just said, Ermigerd, snare, cold weather.
I just realized what you said is so correct. Radio conventions, all the guys wear those
Hawaiian shirts.
What? Any weather in any formal event?
Well,
like, what is that about?
That's what wacky morning DJs wear.
But they wear it to everything. See, that's why we're not, like, I'm quite certain a lot of the things I pack don't go together.
Yeah.
Because we have... We're going to the White House tomorrow. We have a private West Wing and Situation Room tour. What do you wear to the...
I'm wearing a button-down shirt and some really dark, like, jeans.
Do you think we'll get to see Bo?
Probably not.
President's done.
We're not going to the living quarters.
Oh, all right. You never know.
No.
Just saying.
That is, you know what, that's the thing I'm looking forward to most on the trip is the tour of the White House.
Well, right. And I need to plan ahead because in case Bo is there, I need to have something I can roll on the White House lawn in. Who's the boss? Who's the boss?
You want one of those Kong things?
Romantic boy.
Those Kong things that you put the little treat inside?
I'm going to bring a Kong with me, just in case Bo is tromping around. All right. Yeah, so we got a lot. We have sexy liberal. And I did give a big hint, did I? Didn't I? Oh, no.
You did.
One of the, well, they're both huge in their own right. A celebrity guest on panel for sexy liberal. Mm-hmm. One a major movie and television star.
And Broadway. He's been on Broadway. She's been on Broadway.
Damn it, don't even give genders. I hate you so much.
She's been on Broadway. It's been on... Something's been on Broadway.
You are so useless outside a padded room. And in one.
Just put me in a Hawaiian shirt and
Broadway
keep me
doesn't go for do's and bope.
All right, and then what else is going on? Jackie and I know Melissa and I and Roland and Ron, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me with life insurance money, we're going to the Green Ball.
Uh-huh.
Which, look, there's a story about it. Music, sports, politics meet at the 2013 Green Inaugural Ball. That's Sunday night. Let's see, that's the thing I'll be choosing an outfit for a drunk tonight with the gals. Let's see. I'm mentioned as someone mingling. Will.i.am is playing. A lot of Washington Redskins are going to be there. Like, who's who? Politicos will be there. Agriculture Secretary John Vilsack. Governor-elect Jay Inslee of Washington. Senators Michael Bennett, Colorado. Al Franken, Minnesota. Look at all that. Paul Tonko, our good friend.
Uh-huh.
Congressman Paul Tonko. Jared Polis of Colorado.
Police.
Edward Markey. Ed Markey.
Massachusetts.
Peter Welch of all our congressional friends. And then there I am. Let's see. Oh, among those mingling will be Washington Redskin players. And there's a bunch of, I wouldn't know any of them, but I'm sure you do. Melissa Fitzgerald, a West Wing actress. Let's see. Gina Gershon. Oh, hello. Actress Gina Gershon. And comedian Stephanie Miller. Look, I got mentioned in the thing of the thing. All right.
Wow.
All right. Actress Melissa Fitzgerald, Jim. You'll be seeing her.
That was me.
She's kind of like cartoon sexy, isn't she? Kind of like Jessica Rabbit. She's not even like a normal, it's not like a normal kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even like a human thing. Okay. Lisa writes, Steph, the extreme right is now saying that doctors, oh, by the way, the sexy liberal cause, the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence.
That's right.
For the sexy liberal show. The extreme right is now saying that doctors shouldn't be allowed to ask patients about guns. These are the same people that want to give doctors the right to perform transvaginal ultrasounds, whether I want one or not. So let me get this straight. A doctor asking a question that I could choose not to answer is a violation of rights, but forcing me to get a medical procedure that I don't want is not a violation of my rights. Thank you, Lisa. You are the smartest girl in class today. I've heard people make that point, but it can't. I think it bears repeating.
That's right.
All right. All right, the other thing I will be doing on the plane drunk, as you know, is writing out the comedy, the scribblings, the skits for tomorrow night.
Sure.
On my Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkin.
That's right.
Which makes me just like the president, according to Jay Carney.
All I can tell you is the president in general, when he works on a speech, writes in longhand on a yellow pad, and I've seen some yellow pads filled with writing of late around, but I don't have any more details on the speech.
Ooh, I hope we don't use any of the same jokes. Sure. Oh, well. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Andrew Napolitano on the Fox and Friends.
The President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, their entire administration, the people that brought us Obamacare, do not believe in parts of the Constitution. Okay. They don't believe in the 10th Amendment that reserves powers to the states,
no.
And they don't believe in the 2nd Amendment that guarantees us the right to keep and bear arms.
Oh,
and they will
do
everything they can to wear away at those parts of the Constitution with which they disagree.
Who's this idiot?
Andrew Napolitano.
Oh, Judge No Forehead.
Right. Yeah.
Jim's only half here now. He's rethinking his packing.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Keith Ablo on the... Oh, boy, that guy. He's a Fox psychologist.
Psychiatrist.
Right.
Yes.
The president is saying that this is all due to guns because I think he instinctively, at the core of his being, elementally moves toward disempowering people and empowering the state.
Right.
This is a place where he can do that, and I think he's hijacking these tragedies to say we're going to invest more power in the state and take guns away from law-abiding citizens who feel autonomy when they have them.
What? I don't... This guy and the Fox, like, what are they, handwriting
Yeah, handwriting expert.
What? I don't.
Oh, and they have a body language expert that O'Reilly drags out every once in a while, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pop psychology of the worst. It's just...
It's pop psychology with a political opinion.
Well, he always...
I could tell by his aura he wants to take our guns away.
He doesn't even know the president. He's always, like, speculating on his various, you know, whatever, mommy, daddy issues, whatever they are. Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
One thing we never get with the left is an honest debate, because they will never tell us what their real objective is.
Right.
They always mask it or camouflage
it
or hide behind it with children, in the case of yesterday and in many other times. But you can't have an honest debate. They will not tell you that they want to eliminate the Second Amendment. They will not tell you that if they could, they'd find a way to confiscate guns.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So none of that is
the fact that none
true.
Of that is happening is proof that it's just about to happen.
Yeah. And trying to protect children from being killed is using them.
It's using them as a prop.
Sure.
A shield.
Much like Saddam Hussein, as someone said yesterday in Right Wing World.
Rush Limbaugh said that.
There you go. Some moron. Oh, same moron.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Michelle Malkin, Fox and Friends.
What these Democrats do is use children very cynically to try and deflect accountability for their actions, and in this case, very imperial actions on the part of the president. And I consider it a form of child abuse and political malpractice, very toxic. Well,
I see. So yesterday he was Saddam Hussein, the president. Today he's Jerry Sandusky, pretty much.
Yeah, it's child abuse, too. To protect kids.
Okay. Are we going to get to Hitler here, or just we'll...
I don't think we have Hitler in today's right-wing world. Okay. I think they've backed off on the Hitler analogies. Okay. I think they were given a good talking to.
All right. Jim, you're going to have to wind it up then, because it'll all be up to you. Sean Hannity.
Officials from several states are now standing up to President Obama. They're vowing to fight back against the unprecedented gun grab that he announced yesterday.
What?
And with legislation already filed in Missouri and Texas to outlaw federal gun laws from being enacted, well, it looks like King Obama should prepare for a fight.
Okay. Well, that's Rand Paul's gone there already. Okay, so nothing that he said, nothing in the orders, nothing has anything to do with...
grabbing guns,
Gun grabs. So we're going to hear gun grab over and over again. Okay. See, that's what I swear to God, they're all like... Now Sean is getting his talking points from the NRA.
Yep.
NRA warns members confiscation could be next. Could be.
Sure.
Okay, and Liz Cheney on Hannity.
You know, I would really like to see a president, frankly, who's as dedicated to disarming Al-Qaeda as President Obama seems to be to disarming law-abiding American citizens, frankly.
What are you talking about?
It is a situation in which we face a significant threat, and this president, instead of doing everything he can to keep us safe across the board, across the Middle East, he's made America at best irrelevant. And when America's irrelevant, you see a power vacuum like the one you've got now where our enemies step into it.
What have we been doing in Afghanistan all these years?
Well, we don't need to disarm Osama bin Laden anymore because he presumably has no more fingers to pull a trigger because they're being gnawed on by bottom dwellers in the ocean.
Don't talk about the Cheneys that way.
All right.
I imagine giving Liz Cheney a hug would be like hugging a saguaro cactus.
Right.
Just like, ow.
Right.
Ow.
Right. Yeah.
I guess you've done that in Arizona.
Oh, well, yes.
After a few too many.
After a few too many at a desert party,
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. That concludes Right Wing World, thank God, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. If you have half a brain.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Oh, here's to good friends.
What?
Friends that remember the time you left a bar and tried to put a margarita in your pants pocket. Go.
And yes. And
how'd that go?
My cell phone was in that same pants pocket. They were shorts.
Sure.
It was cargo shorts.
Sure.
Quite a few years ago when cargo shorts were still in style.
Sure.
And
it was a style at the time.
It was a style at the time. And, thought it was a good idea to... My friend and I thought it was a good idea to put the margaritas that we were drinking in our pockets and go drink them in the park next door.
Among other things that seemed like a good idea when you've had too many margaritas. All right.
We had too many margaritas.
Spectacular. I have a feeling there's going to be drinking, Jim, this weekend. There's going to be drinking and general debauchery in D.C. Yes. All right.
Yeah. My friend's bar is just within walking distance of our hotel.
No. You just told me that. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. My boy toy. All right. 1-800-STEF-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jacob in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jacob.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Hi. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love your show.
Thank you.
I just kind of, you know, I kind of believe that the president believes that assault weapons kind of are a threat to the United States. And, you know, if he can ban other countries from having nuclear weapons, why can he not ban assault weapons in our country when he feels they're a threat?
Oh, well.
You know,
just the executive orders he's talked about already have him freaking out.
I believe the president has that power that if he feels it's a threat, let him ban assault weapons. Mm. They're a threat. I think a lot of people feel that they're a threat to the American way.
Yeah. Well, I hear you, but I, not being a lawyer, Chris, I'm not entirely certain. I don't think it's in the president's power to ban a certain type of gun. I think that's why, you know, he did what he could with the executive orders.
Right.
But the rest has to be done.
That has to be done legislatively.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Joe Biden yesterday.
If we speak for those we lost, if we speak for our children and our families, if we have the courage to do what we know is the right thing to do, then we'll have the most powerful voice. And we, you, our citizens, will change the nation.
Jasmine in Ohio. Hi, Jasmine. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Go ahead.
Hey, since you're such a big fan of statistics, 5% of the gun violence in this country are committed by people who have mental health issues.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like we're taking 95% of the blame. My greatest fear for what I see happening is separating privacy rights from mental health, forcing doctors to report. You're then taken in front of a doctor that's hired by the state, diagnosed as being mentally ill, taken in front of a judge, adjudicated, and then put in an institution. Granted, you may have never committed a crime, and the doctor may just think that you might possibly be violent.
Right.
I
understand the concern. I mean, I think, Jasmine, the way I've heard it put is that, you know, they're afraid that people aren't going to get help because they're afraid if they say certain things, you know, so I do get that concern, but, you know, it just seems like in all of the, I get what you're saying too, like, as we've said over and over, the vast majority of, you know, mentally ill people will never do this. The vast majority of gun owners won't do this. So I don't think it's any one cause, but I think in several of these recent cases, it could have been flagged. You know what I mean? This combination with Jared Loughner, with the Virginia Tech shooter, you know what I'm saying? It could have prevented those.
I agree that, you know, steps need to be taken, but it's not people that are mentally ill that are killing the majority of people in this country.
Right.
It's the popularized tragedies, and I'm not trying to detract from what happened in Aurora or Sandy Hook, but that's not where most people are dying. Honestly, it's going to sound a little messed up, but you know, it's wealthy suburban white children that die. Now it's the 5% of the mentally ill that are going to be punished for that when 95% of that crime happens in inner cities. And those crimes aren't being addressed.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we're looking at is putting people away. And we're going to create another industry. We're going back to insane asylums where you have no right to say, well, I don't want to take a certain medication because it has, you know, potentially harmful side effects. You have no right. I don't want to take electroconvulsive therapy because it does brain damage. You have no right. They will take
you. No, I mean, I think, Jasmine, you raised legitimate points, but I think there's somewhere between, you know, here and one, you know, and Cuckoo's Nest, right? Do you know what I mean? I know what you're,
absolutely,
we're all picturing what you're thinking that, you know, but I
right,
also
lobotomizing people, you know, I mean, and absolutely, I agree, something has to be done.
Well, I think it certainly wasn't
a larger concern.
But it wasn't helpful, I think, when Reagan basically let everybody out of mental institutions. And I'm just saying that I think there is an aspect of this that we're using the prison system as, you know, a mental health system, I guess.
I would agree with that as well. But I don't think that someone who's never committed a crime in their entire life, who's only suspected of possibly maybe committing a crime, should be locked away. I do think that the assault weapons ban, limiting magazines, and taking the guns out of hands of criminals and people that pose a serious risk, you know, are absolute steps that we need to take. It just needs to be done very judiciously and cautiously so we don't infringe on the rights of a vast majority of people and minimalize and marginalize a section of our society.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Everybody has a different take on this. I was listening to my friend Tom Hartman yesterday. I don't know if you happened to hear this, but, you know, he was expressing the same concerns that you have, and yet he was talking about a good friend of his in high school that got very, very depressed and, you know, and got a gun, and he said that, and killed himself, and he wished that there had been something in place that might have, you know, but you're right. It's not an easy issue. It's a very complex issue. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Make you fly like an eagle. Another can give you the strength of a lion. But only
Stephanie Miller
can fill your heart with wonder and the wisdom that you have known a singular joy.
Really?
Whatever.
Oh, come on.
Stephanie Miller would make heart soar like eagle.
Like a hawk.
Like a hawk.
My heart would soar like a hawk if you cut it out. Not my heart, just cut out that hole.
Jim's not feeling well. He's a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aw, they're there.
Aw.
Need a hug.
It's travel day. We're all stressy. Yeah. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I already realized that I packed a few things last night after too many cocktails. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't go with that. I'm going to have to go home. Figure that out. All right.
At least you packed some things. I haven't.
No? Good luck to you.
Thanks.
All right.
Yeah,
we are off to...
Anything.
We are off to D.C. today. We will, and my dogs are very happy. You know why?
Why?
Because they get a T-bone.
Oh.
Uncle T-bone gets to, who gets a T-bone, Mama
no,
Lee? They like them a lot better than me.
And T-bone gets a T-bone. Mansion for a weekend.
Now your dogs will think they're actually getting a T-bone steak.
Oh, the guy. Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be in the 80s here this weekend.
I know. It's all nice here. We pack things for cold weather. And there's a cold snap in D.C.
Great.
Ray! Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Let's go to Rick in Ohio. Hi, Rick. Welcome. Hello, Rick.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. You know what? I'm talking about the gun issue.
Yes.
And, you know, Wayne LaPierre, mm-hmm. who I'd like to basically say Pepe Le Pew.
Okay.
You know, he sits there and he harps on these issues about the Second Amendment and all this. But, you know, they use John Wayne as an icon, and he only used an automatic weapon when he was either a cop or a soldier.
That's right.
And
somebody has said it before, Rick, but you know what? If you really want an assault rifle, join the military, you know?
I did.
Yeah. Well,
back
thank you.
Back in 1970. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran and a military policeman and... former bomb disposal technician.
Wow. And hey, Rick, let me ask you another question, because, you know, I'm not a gun person. And so,
yes, ma'am.
You know, someone else made a good point about, you know, home protection, your protection. I get it. I understand why people want to have them. But they were saying that is, if you live in a normal-sized place, an assault weapon is a really inefficient way that, you know, they said you're going to spray bullets everywhere. You could very well be hit by a ricochet from your own gun, a handgun or whatever else is a better form of self-protection, isn't it?
You know what I would recommend is a black powder pistol.
What's that?
That's the old 1860s, you know, where you have a cylinder. It's a revolver. But you sit there and you load black powder in it, you put a ball in it, and then you load it down, you push it down with a tamp. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds
muskety.
Yeah, it sounds like a musket.
Yeah, it's a Civil War pistol.
You know what? I've heard from gun people before that the scariest sound to anyone trying to break into your house is a rifle cocking, you know, like a shotgun. And I'm thinking, I have a sound effects box. That's all I need, right? I don't need the actual gun, right? Why can't I just bring my box home with me? Listen, I'm a hot. You know, you always do. You pretend you're a
husband.
I've got
a sound effects box, and I'm not afraid to use it.
But you know
I will use my box.
Yeah, but you know how often you misfire things on your box?
Right. If you're like, listen, I've got, no, not gastrointestinal distress. I have a, and I'm not afraid to use it. I have a, no.
A drum set.
No, that's not. I have a tiny.
A violin.
No. It's true when you think about it. Yeah. That and the pretending that you have a husband.
I have a trombone and a violin, and I'm not afraid to use both of them.
Get them! Get them! Honey! That'd be funny if someone... We know you're a loser. We're not...
You're not fooling anybody.
Damn. I just gave away my home protection secrets.
You did. Great. Good job.
Oh, yeah. Those big dog sound effects.
Hang
sure.
on. I've got a... No! Not a magic wand. I've got a... Something that's gonna.
That works.
Excellent bread would help them in.
I have Reince Priebus.
How about I have nunchucks? They'll think I just knocked myself out. That's the problem. They'll be like, all right, she just knocked herself out. Time to go in and get the stereo. Okay. I have a.
Finger.
Listen, don't make me. Okay.
Doink, doink, doink.
I just.
You scared now,
but
huh?
I get it. I get the home protection, but to what degree? To these people just paranoid. They make it sound like it literally is like the, you know, zero dark 30 rate every night at their house. You know, I gotta have stuff because there might be snipers and, you know,
I think it's,
Navy SEALs and drones.
It's right wing talk radios and Fox News' job to make people paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what they do. And they're creating a nation full of paranoid crazies.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. Okay.
Who's a paranoid crazy? What?
Who you call
what
a paranoid crazy? You're talking about me again, aren't you? Brenda in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, hi, Brenda.
Hi, Stephanie. You need to sell your own Stephanie Miller security sound box.
Listen, I'm smelling money here. Look out, I have a mini trampoline, and I will bounce off it and you up. Okay, go ahead.
You need some scary screams.
Right.
I love that cocking noise, though.
Yeah. Why not? That's what they say. That's all they need is to hear that, and they usually scatter, right? There you go.
The dogs are pretty good, though. That would really scare somebody.
Watch out,
No!
A cuckoo clock.
I have Reince Priebus in my basement. Look out. All right, go ahead.
Stop barking.
I just wanted to complain about Stuart Varney. He needs to go back to Britain or something.
Yeah.
This morning, he was so serious talking to his guest, and were saying, Stuart said in light of recent... news on guns, maybe that Gun Appreciation Day wasn't such a good idea.
Right.
And they haven't even really had it yet, but the man that he was interviewing said there might be like a million people there. But,
great. Armed. Terrific. Perfect.
Can I say Liz Cheney, that comment, that right-wing world, I haven't heard from her lately. Liz Cheney's more of a danger to our country than anybody. She's like a terrorist. She talks like a terrorist.
Yeah, the president's really not interested in disarming Al-Qaeda. What? He's disassembled most of it already. It's like, what are you talking about?
He killed number one.
Yeah, exactly. And several number twos. God knows how many.
Who was number six?
I'm just now, everybody's got me thinking about this idea. I'm telling you, I smell gold mine. It's true. Why not just sell my boxes?
Watch out. I've got a small studio audience.
You're right. That's the problem.
I even
misfire my box.
Yes,
I can't
you do.
Even. Not only am I too spazzy for a gun, I always hit the wrong side. Look out. You woke the baby.
And the baby's got a gun.
And now Sam Kinison's mad. You know what?
Stephanie Miller.
No.
Oh.
No!
I got a voice, guy. I'm not afraid to use them.
I'm not a voice.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I've got Fox lasers. Listen, I'll send a Fox graphic right through your... Okay. is it me? Am I just losing it, or we all are?
Oh, we all are.
Yeah. Got the Three Stooges. Listen, I will poke you in both eyes. Okay. Let's go to...
The Three Stooges and Manny Moe and Jack.
Eric in Maryland. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Steph. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, welcome to the D.C. area from the free state of Maryland, where we just got marriage equality.
Woohoo! Thank you. Well, I'm not there yet, but I will be there today.
Well, we're excited to have you here. It's very cold, but it'll be in 40s tomorrow. So
oh!
Hey, I wanted to make a point about the comments from the far right wing about the president using children when they were the ones who came out and attacked the president's children for having security in, you know, and being protected by the Secret Service. It's the most absurd, stupid thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know.
They're so hypocritical and ridiculous. Yep. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely. Joe Biden yesterday.
How do we make our streets and schools safer? With regard to our streets, I believe, and the president believes, that cops make a difference. We're going to push again for another $4 billion in grants for the cops program.
I just, you know what?
What?
I have the only sound effect I need. You're getting sleepier. Sleepier.
All right.
You're dropping your weapons. You are leaving my house. Go. Don't you think that would work?
Sure.
Okay. Let's go to Monty in Missouri. Hi, Monty. Welcome. Hi, Monty.
Hey.
Hello. Hi. Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk on three subjects real quick on police military tactics that they had in the, when I was in the military. We're teaching police force as well as mental health, and you know that we had in Missouri because I was, used to be a patient advocate for mental health, as well as immigration. And I'd like to ask the right-wing world if they'd go back, because I live with Native Americans and grew up with them out in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Go ask them what they think about immigration and what we've done to the Native Americans in this country.
Yeah.
Again, whoever wins the wars gets to write the history.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank
and,
you. Yeah,
and same thing when I was in the 80s, when I was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
They would bring in the civilian police and teach them military tactics. And I kept asking my superiors, and basically they just told me to just shut up. Why were teaching them military tactics? I now today have the answer 30 years later.
What's that?
Well, look at all the assault weapons. Why they have to have armored personnel carriers? Why they have to carry AR-15s, the police do, and use those tactics?
Mm-hmm.
We've created our own war.
You're right. We've created our own escalation. Yeah, that's what I was saying. We were talking to a cop yesterday, remember, from Philly?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about what... Really? Like, it really is like we're sending them into Afghanistan. They have to now contend with people with guys in body armors with AR-15s, you know? I mean, it's, and again, they're the people that the right likes to demonize and call union thugs and all that. I mean, it's ridiculous. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Free speech? What a concept. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. The politics of gaslighting are hollow in this message on the score.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, yeah. Inauguration weekend. Happy Inauguration weekend. We're all off to D.C. today. See you at Sexy Liberal tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll be broadcasting live Monday and Tuesday. And then, the thing I'm most excited about, I have a date with my 90-year-old mom on Tuesday.
For some what?
I rented a prom limo and everything. It's her 90th birthday Tuesday.
And you're taking her to eat some?
Damn lobster. That's what my mom calls it. That's what she wants, and that's what she gets.
Why doesn't she just say lobster, like most people?
I don't know. It's a thing. It's just a family joke.
Okay. All right, then.
1-800-STEP-12. Troy in Miami is going to the big show. Hi, Troy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I love you. I listen to you all the time. My husband's birthday this weekend.
Woo-hoo!
25 years,
wow.
And this year for his birthday, he said, all I want to do is go see the president be re-inaugurated.
Aww.
So we're going, but what he doesn't know is that I've got us tickets to go see you tomorrow night.
Oh,
so
my God!
I'm a girl!
Oh, my God!
He's freaking out. He's going to be really excited. So.
Okay, nobody tell Troy's husband in Miami Beach what's happening.
He's asleep right now, so as long as nobody does work tells him, he won't know.
It's like that Saturday Night Live sketch. It's a surprise! It's a surprise!
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig is freaking out. Don't tell anybody, it's a surprise!
I haven't told anybody. I've actually only told one other person. Nobody else knows about it except you now.
Well, thank God you didn't say it on national television or radio, because...
Oh!
All right, well...
It's tomorrow, so I think we can do it.
We'll see you tomorrow night, honey.
All right.
All right. Okay. Oh, and by the way, still time to buy your magical sexy liberal t-shirt, which I'm sporting today. Okay.
Are we selling any swag in the lobby?
I don't. Do you think I know?
Sorry.
I can't even figure out how to pack.
Did I stir a hornet's nest there? I'm sorry.
Or which ones of my technological objects will work. or not. I don't even understand airplane mode. I don't know how to... I don't know how what you can work on your iPad. I don't know. What does airplane mode mean?
Oh,
you can't get email, right? But you can do other stuff.
It turns off all of your Wi-Fi and stuff like
right?
that.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
good.
God.
Good to know. Okay.
You go into
I don't leave my house. I don't function outside my house.
You go into settings, and it's just airplane
This is
mode.
My life. You two, spinning class, home. Max and Fred. That's it. That's it. It's the whole thing. It's a little, I'm like a little hamster. You know, hamsters get confused when they get out of their little, you know, thing. That's me.
I'll bet you dollars to donuts, the person sitting next to you is going to know how to put something into airplane mode. So ask them. Seriously. Anybody is going to know.
Stop pestering you. Yeah. Do you know? Excuse me. Like, they're going to look at me like I'm Nell. What?
In airplane mode.
Win in a thing. Okay. All right. Vice President Biden yesterday.
I've been in this fight a long time. I have no illusions about the fight that's in front of us. I have no illusions about distortions that will come from all sides. But I know full well the political obstacles that will be thrown up against us are not impenetrable.
Wow. Hey, speaking of people that might throw up obstacles, the NRA warns members that confiscation could be next.
But that's not true. That's a lie. The NRA is lying
also,
to you.
Also, being invaded by Martians could be happening.
Right, could be, too. Could be. It's they sent a Judy Tenuta email. It could happen!
Could happen.
In an email, ironically, it was also a fundraising pitch, just completely, I'm sure that's unconnected.
Well. What a coincidence.
Yeah, in an email sent to NRA members on Thursday, they warned that politicians in D.C. are closing in fast on your right to keep and bear arms. Y'all need this music for this.
Oh, boy.
President Barack Obama and anti-gun politicians are on an all-out crusade to pass new laws that would ban tens of millions of rifles, shotguns, and handguns. Okay, that's not true. Okay. Make it... It's just... this whole thing is pretty much a lie. Okay. Make it more difficult, expensive, and in some cases illegal for you to purchase ammunition.
Ha-ha.
And even force you. A lot of caps in here. A lot of caps.
Oh, sure.
Even force you to register your firearms with the federal government. Some are even talking about a mandatory gun confiscation and buyback program where you'd be forced to hand over your gun in exchange for a government check. Okay, first of all...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking,
there is nobody talking... There is nothing anywhere about confiscating guns. And buyback programs, as we all know, are voluntary.
Right.
They would force you to hand over your gun.
Force you to voluntarily sell your gun.
Change for government
money.
Cheese. The fact is, despite their statements, the main goal of the gun banners in Congress is not to make schools safer, but to ban your guns and abolish every last sacred right you have under the Second Amendment until they reduce your freedom to ashes.
Melodramatic much?
Wow. I know. Drama queen much? Wayne La... Yeah? So 23 executive actions, none of them involved confiscation or buybacks on Obama's list.
Aha, which is proof that it does actually involve confiscation.
Right.
Oh, God.
Right.
The fact that it isn't is proof positive that it is.
They remind
it's only logical.
The president has plenty of rich, gun-hating friends in Hollywood, along with anti-gun billionaire Michael Bloomberg, who will shower him with the money he needs to strip you of your gun rights. So please, give now to the NRA.
Oh, okay,
NRA.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Buy my book.
Buy my book! He does have a book.
Yeah, yes, I know.
And it's garbage.
Yeah.
Okay,
so.
Karen in New York City. Hi, Karen. Hello, Karen.
Oh, Karen in New York?
That's
yes,
you.
Hi.
That's me, then.
Yes.
Okay. Morning.
Good morning.
It seems to me that the talk about... weapons is a little limited. The NRA a couple of weeks ago said that they really, really resisted the idea of there being a national sort of count of how many gun deaths there are.
Right.
I think that that's the one thing. When they started counting car deaths, the regulations on the roads became... And safety measures became much more stringent.
Right. Karen, I got to tell you, I'm of an age where I hated having to wear my seatbelt. when that first happened, I was like, oh, I hate it. It cuts into my shoulder. Ah, who are they? They're not the boss of me. But, you know, now we look at that like that's...
You were a young Republican back then, too. So, yeah.
Attica! Attica! Right. Yeah, I mean, right. But now we look at it like, you know, it's just common sense. Don't be a dope, you know. Put your seatbelt on. Look at cell phone laws. I mean, I remember I got a cell phone ticket once. I was like, what? There's all kinds of crime. Why don't you do some real police work? And you look at statistics, right?
Well, brakes and all of the things that are built into cars of old. I'm old enough to know before that those things were required, when they started giving the statistics of how many road deaths there were, the car industry, which resisted mightily, started putting in protections.
Yeah, brakes are socialist. If you're a real libertarian, you just go like a Flintstone and just stop with your feet if you want.
Fire mirrors. Everybody knows that.
Right. Yeah,
and then once you have the statistics, once the numbers are just plain out there, they speak for themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to go, oh, gee, the reason they don't want us to count this is because they know what the, you know...
Well, exactly so. The number of deaths, if there was, like there is on the unemployment numbers and how the Standard & Poor's or the stock market is doing, if every week we had the number of deaths from guns, accidental, on purpose, crazy people.
Right, yeah, exactly. All right, Senator Jeff Merkley coming up.
Yeah.
To talk about the filibuster.
The Merkley Amendment.
Yeah, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Man down. Jim Ward is going to take a nappy before the flight to D.C. He's feeling, I don't know, a little rumbly in his tumbly, something. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Sexy Liberal, the Sexy Liberal website. It's where you can get the fabulous T-shirt I'm now sporting. This, I believe, is the ladies destroyed Sexy Liberal tee. Fabulous. Dana in Maryland. Love letter. See you Saturday. Safe flight. Dana in Maryland. Hey, Mom and the Mook. Can't wait to see you all tomorrow night trying to round up all the D.C. Sexy Liberals for pre-show flirtinis. Spread the word. Get on the chat room. Chat room, go. Get it. And get those last remaining tickets if you don't have them yet, for heaven's sake.
4 years ago, we witnessed the first inauguration of President Barack Obama. In November, America decided one term just wasn't enough. This time around, Stephanie Miller and her team of two-term comics are coming to make this a party D.C. will never forget. On January 19th, just 2 days before Obama's second inauguration, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and the goddess of liberals, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. And if you want to skip the fees, stop by the Warner Theater box office at 513 13th Street Northwest. The Teabaggers lost in November, so Stephanie is going to do her thing before the inaugural ball.
That means two things.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live in D.C. Inauguration Weekend. For more information, go to SexyLiberal.com.
Yay!
Yahoo!
Yahoo! All right, we're down a Mook, but we got a Mook out.
It's Schechner again.
Riding into the breach for us,
that's
as
right.
always.
Yay, Jackie!
Good morning!
Hi, kids.
Good morning!
Good morning! I know you're a helper. I said to you at the top of the hour, if you would dress like a hooker, I'm sure Jim will perk right up.
Yeah, I'm such a bad packer. Who knows what's left, what's in that bag?
I know. No,
it's awful.
Yeah,
at least you have something in your... I have nothing in my suitcase yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
I have to go home and pack. And
oh,
then.
That's aggressive. You're pushing it worse than I usually do.
I'm a dude. That's what dudes do.
Right.
That's
He's just
usually
like,
what this girl does.
You know what guys do, how they pack? They just like, that's not that dirty. And then they just...
No, I did all of my laundry yesterday, so everything's clean. I just need to put it in...
Yeah.
Figure out what I'm taking.
Yeah, no, girls are different, right, Jackie? I called her in a panic yesterday. I'm like, help me! I'm not a real girl!
Yeah, well, if you're packing the earring and the flipper, I've got the other earring and the water wings. I mean, that's... I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And somehow in my head, it's not going to be 30. It's going to be 80.
That's incorrect.
A sweater would be good.
Right.
A shawl, a pashmina, something.
A pashmina.
Just... You're trying to lure me into the pashmina fashion faux pas again, aren't you?
Wipe out the purple schmata problem. So.
You know, we would probably do a service to mankind if we could just, we could publish our text between you, me, and Melissa Fitzgerald, because it tells you everything you need to know about female insecurity. I don't have a long gown, and then you offered one, and I'm like, no, you're little, I'm too fat, I look like Babe the Pig. And
Melissa, anybody has ever seen Stephanie Miller's full body? She is the size of a toothpick. Split that toothpick in half.
Yeah, Melissa Fitzgerald's like, hush.
Little thing.
She's like, be quiet, two tiny girls. Anyway, so we'll figure it out. She was going to bring the shoes that matched your dress, and I don't know, it's a whole thing. Anyway, we're very excited, aren't we? Big
show. I think it's going to be a blast. Yes, I'm going to try to take lots of pictures and tweet out all sorts of funny stuff.
Yay. Yay.
We'll see what we can do. It'll all be NC-17.
Well, despite my body image, here's another story. The logs on thisiswhyyourefat.com.
Uh-oh, okay.
This is why we're fat.
By the way, that website is defunct, so stop sending people there. But
it was one of our favorite ones.
Yes. They have a Tumblr, though.
Angry sandwich lovers demand to know why Subway's foot long is an inch shorter than advertised. Really? 11 inches of sandwich is not enough. Seriously?
God.
Yes. Who gets that sandwich and breaks out their measuring tape?
Yes. I know. They literally, it's become like an internet thing that some guy took a picture and it was only 11 inches. And I mean, it's still, a big friggin' sandwich. Can I just say 11 inches of sandwich?
That's a lot of sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't
like... Because they always give you, like, a slice of meat.
Who wouldn't like 11 inches?
Pre-separated three slices of mini-meat. But anyway.
All right, and here's another story about why it might be a bad idea to arm teachers. Florida science teacher offers to cop in exchange for letting her drunken hit-and-run slide.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, hello, Florida.
Where you go? Well, first of all, Jackie Schechner can comment. Of course, it's in Florida.
Florida native, there Jackie Schechner.
Yes, I'm born and raised. There's very few of us left.
Gawker brings us the story. A middle school teacher's poorly thought-out plan to get out of going to jail by offering a police officer oral sex and a breast grope. That's just an added thing. Resulted in bribery getting tacked onto her existing DUI and hit-and-run charges.
I'm going to add in the breast grope on the side. If the oral sex doesn't do it, how about a cop a few?
How about a little reach around? I love this. The arresting officer noted in his report that an empty jug of wine was visible near the driver's seat, and she appeared drunk. He also noted she made random vulgar statements on the way to the police station. At one point, asked the cop rhetorically, "Do you understand I'm a school teacher?" He's probably like, "Yes."
Well, maybe she just wanted to teach him something.
Sure.
This is why.
She's watched too many adult films. Well, that's what teachers do.
Exactly. I got to say, okay, wait. I have a good letter on this whole gun debate from a psychologist, a mental health professional. With some, just some fun facts.
Fun facts, okay.
Karen in Canton says, Steph, as a mental health professional, I think there's something missing in the gun debate. Background checks are certainly needed and would weed out some of the most chronic, mentally ill, dangerous people in our society. The problem is it likely would not have stopped some of the recent shootings. These people were too young to have long records due to their mental illness, and mental illness is confidential and not searchable in a database. One was a med student, one was a mental health professional in the military. Background checks would not stop those people. That's why it's so important to ban assault rifles. These mentally ill people who are dangerous but who have not been arrested or before identified would have to attempt to get these guns illegally, therefore might get caught by the ATF, FBI, mm-hmm. or police before they can do real harm, or they will be forced to commit their crimes with a handgun or shotgun with 8 bullets, obviously limiting the damage, right. At least. Probably less because they would have to aim at people to kill them. People with mental illness are not inherently dangerous, but as we've seen, some are. Most people with these types of illnesses are very limited as to tasks they can complete. If we make getting a gun easy, ordering it on the internet, walking into a gun show, walking out with a gun, they are much more likely to complete their task. If we add steps, especially steps that involve searching out criminals to buy a gun from, they are much more likely not to be capable of completing the task or getting caught while completing it. So, some good thoughts, right?
No, absolutely. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier, kind of offhandedly in my newscast, when we were talking about the NRA sending out its fundraising email where it's scaremongering and it's talking about the president trampling your Second Amendment rights and coming for your guns. It has a very death panel feel to it, right?
Right.
It has a very lie of the year, health care reform, death penalty.
They're hoping it plays into the existing narrative that they think exists among some about the president, that, oh, here we go again, it's government overreach, right?
Right, and it's total fabrication. And Vice President Biden sent out an email saying, here are the facts, because I know the more they get repeated, the more they're going to get attacked, and the more misinformation you're going to hear. So they're trying to preemptively fight against this sort of thing, and I think that that's really important. But I do think you have to focus in on the access to firearms. I mean, we can do all of these other things, but ultimately, as much as the NRA wants to say it's everything but guns, it's everything including guns.
Yep.
And you can't say it's not.
We have the Rands of the world to deal with, as in Rand Paul of Kentucky, Senator Rand Paul.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, okay. All right, here it is.
In this bill, we will nullify anything the president does that smacks of legislation. And there are several of the executive orders that appear as if he's writing new law. That cannot happen.
He's just, every single response of his is, he's not the boss of me.
No, asking the CDC to do some research is not writing a new law.
Nope.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why they were very careful about what were the executive actions, and what must be left to Congress.
And all he's doing is fear-mongering. That's all he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, they're public. You can read them. I mean, there's nothing hidden in there. They're just, recommendations of actions that we can take, that many of which should have been taken already.
But people don't have time to read all of the executive actions, so they depend on people like Rand Paul to tell them what's in it, and that's where we get into trouble.
It's like the health care bill, Jackie, right?
Exactly.
Like, you wouldn't believe what's in there. There's how many times have you had to answer a question in Healthcare Corner? Like, no, that's not in there. No,
it doesn't exist. No. And I love people who are like, I read it. I'm like, No, you didn't.
You're lying. Senator Marco Rubio getting a jump on Rubio.
I actually think the president, and he just doesn't have the guts to admit it, is not a believer in the Second Amendment, although he states that he is. If he doesn't want the Second Amendment to be in the Constitution, or if he wants to reform the Second Amendment, then have the guts to admit that.
How many times can the president say, he believes in the Second Amendment? I mean, the fact that he did nothing except expand gun rights in his first term just seems to mean nothing to them. Right?
Because they live in some fantasy alternate universe where everything he does is the opposite of what he actually does. They don't actually pay attention to the reality, and I don't understand how these are the people that we're electing to help lead our country, because they're totally disconnected from the truth.
Yep. And David Keene, NRA president yesterday.
We're powerful to the extent that we are because there are millions and millions of Americans who truly care about Second Amendment issues.
But nobody's threatening to take away your gun.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Unless you're a crazy person who wants to annihilate the civilian population, then you deserve to have your gun taken away. You shouldn't have had a gun in the first place. But those are the only people that we're targeting, and it's, with evidence.
All right, who watched Lance last night? Who watched Lance and Oprah on another
subject?
I watched
the first 20 minutes of it and thought, okay, that's all I really need to see.
All right, we have crunchy audio goodness, and we will get to Jackie's take as we continue. Oh. Why not?
Okay, we're keeping her? Does she know this?
Yes, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I got nothing better to do.
She's
right.
My BFF.
All right, fine.
She knows I need her. Okay. All right, and then we'll be back at bottom of an hour with Senator Jeff Merkley as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Taking back God. Taking back the flag. Taking back America. And all before breakfast. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Damn this TV show.
I know.
Okay, it is. I was having a secret conversation with someone. Hi, Jackie Schechner.
Hello.
You two are on.
You know what? I've just unpacked and repacked again in my head during commercial break.
Oh,
right.
God.
I know it. The later in the evening got up in box wine time, I was like, oh, that didn't go with that. Jackie will kill me for that outfit.
I'm thinking fewer skirts, more warmer pants.
Right.
Options.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm.
Less bathing suit.
Well, it's all...
More...
It's... There are highs in the 40s, lows in the 30s until Tuesday. That's when I think the cold weather comes in.
And that's
in.
When we leave.
Yeah. So yes. I think we'll be fine.
And you know what the crazy part is? I lived in D.C. for 6 years. Yeah. And New York for 6.
Right.
And it's I don't know this.
Right. I grew up in Buffalo, for God's sake. Yeah, and you'd think that
D.C. doesn't have Buffalo's snow.
You'd
at
think
all.
That I would be excited, Jackie, about getting invited to more things, being an elderly shut-in that never leaves my house, but I'm just like...
You're panicked.
Right, because our friend Jeff thinks he can get me into the big inaugural ball Monday, and I'm like, oh, no! Another whole black tie outfit? Oh, all right.
I know, I said to Stephanie, okay, what would you wear if you were invited to a black tie wedding? And she said, I'm not.
I haven't been to a wedding in years.
Yeah, I haven't either.
All my friends are single losers like me. I don't know.
I was trying to help.
I know.
Instead, I just made you feel worse.
Right, you did.
I sent you right back to the box wine.
Yes, you did. All right, so the big interview was last night. Lance Armstrong and Oprah. And you ruined it for me. You ruined the ending. He was doping? Oh, Chris.
Sorry.
You really don't get out of the house, do you? That wasn't everywhere all week.
Here he is. With
Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Did you ever blood dope or use blood transfusions to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
In all 7 of your Tour de France victories, did you ever take banned substances or blood dope?
Yes.
Well, that... I mean, that was in the first 3 minutes of the interview.
Like, okay.
So I'm like, okay, why do I need to watch the next 3 hours?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, Jackie, what do you think? Because, you know, at some point you go, everybody already knows, and it opens him up to a lot of lawsuits and stuff. Do you think he accomplished anything?
No, I don't understand why now, and it's totally sociopathic. I mean, he's totally disconnected, and from the stories you're hearing about how he went out of his way to ruin the people who accused him of doing what he did.
Right.
Yeah, that's the part that's tough. It's not just the denial.
Right, he called them liars and tried to ruin them, anybody who came at him and said that he was doping.
Yeah. No, I mean all of this plays out the same way. You're like, oh, how long to the tearful Marion Jones type, TV interview. But, you're right. This was, I think, different.
Yeah, and I think it'd be nice to get to a place where doing these sorts of awful things and then saying I'm sorry and hoping they'll just go away isn't good enough. Like, at some point, there's some sort of repercussions for this kind of bad behavior. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's clearly a PR spin machine at work here. I mean, if he's had all of these legal advisors and all of this marketing help over the years...
Right,
they're clearly spinning his reputation.
Right. Well, interesting though, he sort of acknowledged that. Here he is again last night. Here he is again last night.
This is too late. It's too late for probably most people, and that's my fault. You know, I view this situation as one big lie. That I repeated a lot of times.
That's it. It's the length of time, right? It's the length of time and the number of times you repeated it, right. and the whole rest of it, right?
Yeah, it's astonishing how he got away with it.
I know.
Just because there were so many people who came out and said he's not telling the truth, and nobody ever believed
and
them.
And so many people who were doing it with him in
that
those
too.
Trailers.
Yeah.
That too.
I mean, how every single one of those people kept their mouths shut is beyond me.
I don't think they did, though.
No, towards the end they didn't.
With him, and he destroyed them. And I think he set an example. It was like, well, if you try to tell the truth, here's what's going to happen to you. And he had so much money in these legal teams to go after people and their reputation. That at some point it became, what's the cost benefit here?
Right. Well, what's what they called it, right? The largest, most sophisticated, doping ring ever. I mean, it wasn't. You're right. It wasn't. I think
last night he said it wasn't the most sophisticated ever. He said it was pretty basic what he was doing. I don't know whether to believe him or not.
In this one, interesting point he made.
This story was so perfect for so long, and I mean that. And as I try to take myself out of the situation and I look at it, you overcome the disease, you win the Tour de France 7 times, you have a happy marriage, you have children. I mean, it's just this mythic, perfect story.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. We did Austin Sexy Liberal, Jackie, and of course I went for a walk or run or whatever, and there was a guy pushing a baby carriage in front of me and a really, really super fit and a girl with him, and I'm looking at his calves like, wow, that guy is really fit. It was him.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, that's Lance Armstrong.
I wonder if he and Cheryl broke up because she found out that he was a liar.
I did see somebody put up on Twitter, what did Cheryl know and when did she know? And
they
were just kidding. But I do wonder if there wasn't some component to some of his relationships where there were, because he dated Tori Burch for a while. Mm-hmm.
Right. Is cheating.
If he was lying about, you know, doping, was he lying about their relationship or in their relationship or whatever? You know.
Yeah, and all she wanted to do was have some fun, Jackie. Is the real
Tuesday Night Music Club.
It's the real tragedy.
Exactly. Until the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Well, that's when all the fun stops, as we all know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, fascinating stuff. It really is a lot of people even criticize him for going to Oprah, right, rather than...
Yeah, I don't know where he's supposed to go. I don't know where you do that sort of thing. I mean, I guess he assumed that she would be gentle and sympathetic.
Right.
Not gentle in terms of not asking the hard questions, but not nasty. Because she is able to handle those sorts of things. But it is an interesting choice.
Yeah. I'm guessing it wasn't one of Oprah's favorite things.
And you get a steroid.
Yay!
And you get a steroid.
Love you, Jackie Schechner.
Love you, too.
See you later on.
Chris. All right. Senator Jeff Merkley next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Get real, kids. You write skits mocking our presidents to fill time between car commercials.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. We can't do a show on Travel Day. We are so discombobulated. All right. Off to D.C. Today with the big show. Tickets almost gone for Sexy Liberal tomorrow night. All right. We've been talking yesterday. Stuff came up. A caller called about the filibuster, and our good friend Senator Jeff Merkley of the great state of Oregon is here to talk to us now. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
And good to be with you, too. I think I'm going to see you in D.C.
Very good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Senator, we were talking about that there are two competing filibuster proposals, yours and then the McCain Levin, right?
Right, Levin.
Yes.
Levin
yes.
one. And obviously, I think yours is vastly preferable. Tell us in your words why, because a lot of people don't understand these sort of inner workings of the Senate. But yours means you have to actually stand there and talk and filibuster, right, rather than what the Republicans have been doing.
Yeah, it's a proposal that says, yes, we should get rid of the filibuster on the motion to proceed. Why, if you will, filibuster over getting to a bill? Let's just either vote up or down. Let's get there. Let's get the conference committee. Let's not allow the filibuster when both houses have already passed it. But very importantly, when you do have a filibuster on a motion to proceed, on a bill itself, then people should have to stand. If they voted for more debate, they should have to stand and debate. They should, one, it takes time and energy, so it's not a freebie the way it is now to interrupt the function of the Senate. And second, you're before the American people and your colleagues. You've got to make your case, and the public can weigh in on whether you're a hero or a bum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, you've seen these latest polls that, you know, Congress is, I don't know, less popular than... Or a little more popular than chlamydia and a little less popular than Ebola. I think you're more popular than Ebola, not you personally. But I think this is, people don't understand, I think, Senator, that are lay people, why things don't get done. And when we use the word unprecedented in terms of this Congress, explain to us why in terms of the filibuster. Because go ahead.
Well, it's a situation that's been with us this last 6 years. And the dramatic comparison is that Lyndon B. Johnson in 6 years as majority leader faced one filibuster, and Harry Reid has faced 391 in a similar 6-year period. And these filibusters procedurally, each one, even if you have the 60 votes to end one, they take up a week under the protocol of the Senate, under the rules of the Senate. And so it just paralyzes the Senate, and we don't get bills to the floor, and the ones we get to the floor, we can't get to a final vote.
You know, it's interesting. They just did this study, so I don't know if you heard about it, but this is no surprise to you, but the 112th Congress was the most polarized ever, according to a new report. The ideological distance between the parties in Congress due to record levels between the 111th and 112th, exceeding even levels seen during the late 19th century when I think they used to take out pistols and try to shoot each other. So
fortunately, we haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, right. Yes, I think there were fisticuffs. But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, when people want to know, like, why, because I look at poll after poll, I mean, 90% of the American people want background checks for gun, you know what I mean? And you think, and why can't we, and yet you hear over and over, oh, we're probably not going to be able to get any of this gun stuff done. But this is part of the reason, right?
This is part of the reason. If we look at, well, why didn't we close the loopholes for oil companies that are getting billions of dollars? I mean, why are we talking about reducing food stamps and hunger programs at a time when we can't even close a loophole for an oil company? Well, it's a filibuster. Pay equity, why we couldn't get it done? Filibuster. Dream Act, why couldn't we do it?
Yeah.
The filibuster. And the Disclose Act, which would have gotten rid of secrecy in campaign donations, widely supported. We had 59 votes to close debate. We needed a 60th. And when we had that group that said we want more debate, no one would go to the floor and defend secrecy. If they had to take their position and go through the night saying, no, no, we love secrecy, we love foreign donations in the American political system, we would have gotten the 60th vote. And we would have the Disclose Act today.
Senator Merkley, that's exactly right. Is there, you know, force them to, you know, defend their wildly unpopular ideas. I mean, if you poll half of, you know, the things that they talk about, this is why, I don't know if you saw this today, Republican group brags, we stole the House from Democrats. I mean, they're basically bragging about gerrymandering, you know what I mean? Even though, like, they're saying it credits the strategy with overcoming the 1.1 million more votes that went for Democrats, you know, in this last election, and obviously the Republican House is going to be a big problem, whether it's gun legislation or anything else, right?
Yes, and if you think about providing an opportunity for Americans to see which direction they want to go, if the Senate can pass legislation, even if it dies in the House, even if it dies in the Republican House, then at least Americans can say, well, look at these six great ideas that were passed in the Senate. They were killed by the House. My goodness, let's get the Democrats back in control of the House. But if both houses are paralyzed, if the Senate's paralyzed and the House is doing nothing, then it's kind of like throw up your hands and to heck with all of them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. A pox on both houses, literally.
Right.
So, Senator Merkley, just for those just tuning in and that don't, you know, quite understand even what filibuster means, for instance, I know that a lot of progressive groups came out against the McCain-Levin version of the. What is the difference, again, between yours and theirs?
Well, McCain-Levin doesn't get rid of the filibuster and the motion to proceed unless it's an option where you trade it off with amendments.
Okay.
It does not provide any form of talking filibuster. It does not say that if 41 vote for more debate, they actually have to stand and make their case. So it leaves the key tool utilized by the minority, and it was utilized by the Democrats before the Republicans, so it's not just a partisan thing, but this key tool of killing things without taking any responsibility for it, spending any energy for it, giving any opportunity for the American people to see who's actually opposing it and paralyzing it. So that's the key problem. And the reason they didn't include it is Mitch McConnell will never agree to get rid of his main tool for paralyzing the Senate. And so they basically punted on the heart of this. And that's why that package is very disappointing that has been in conversation between those groups.
Senator, when is there a time frame? Is yours coming up for a vote, or how does this progress?
Well, the way it will work is Majority Leader Reid will convene a caucus when we're back next week, and he will present his vision of what he wants to see happen. And we'll debate it, and we'll argue over it, and maybe he'll modify his package, maybe he won't, and then we'll go forward. He'll have to have 51 votes for his package. I'm sure he will have those votes, and I think he'll have those for a robust package. as long as he says this is what we need to do, and I need 51 together to do it.
Yep.
And so that's my hope how this will unfold.
Well, we're all rooting for you, and I know I'm told I'm going to see you at some fancy ball in D.C., so we will be political geeks talking about this again, but in better clothes.
Very good.
Right. See you in D.C. Thanks so much, Senator. Yeah. All right, there he goes.
Wow.
Jeff Merkley.
I love him.
One of the good ones.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's what it is. It is just a bunch of geeks in fancy clothes.
In fancy clothes.
And the inauguration, that's what it is.
Right.
Okay, Tara in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tara.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I got a question about the NRA.
Yes.
I'm curious to know what the perks are for being members. Because if all the members are so disagreeing with the leadership, why don't they just stage a massive unmembering where they all quit at the same time.
You know what, Tara, I said that yesterday. I wish that a lot of people would have torn up their cards over that the ridiculous ad that targeted the president's children. You know, I mean, that just went beyond the bounds of decency, in my opinion. What about the video game they just put out? They criticized violent video games for in this, and then they just came out with one.
I know, it's crazy. But
yeah.
I also don't understand how come they have so much power. 4 million is barely more than 1%.
Yeah, and thank you. And what I just said to Senator Merkley, there's a new poll, 90% of Americans want background checks, including Republicans and gun owners.
Yeah.
So everybody is not the NRA, by the way.
It's interesting. When you said that, I looked up the benefits to membership at NRA.org, and all you get is some, you know, extra insurance coverage in case you shoot somebody, and you get representation in Congress. That's all you get.
Mm.
So it should be easy to tear up your NRA card.
And you get to, I think you get to trim Tom Selleck's mustache.
I mean, you don't get 20% off at Chili's or anything like that. So it's like,
so what's the point?
Right.
Nothing important.
Right.
Nothing important.
All right. Let's go to Trent in Minnesota. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Trent. Hey,
hello.
Trent. Hello, Trent.
First time caller, first time listener.
Yes.
And so far, I'm not very impressed.
All right. Awesome. I grow on you. Trust me.
The first part of the show is nothing but bells and whistles and talking about packing and foot long subway. Okay?
Yes.
But then you had a statement on there from a professional that says that you don't have to aim with an AR-15 and we got to talk about the truth.
Right. Well, the AR, obviously, they were developed, as General McChrystal said, as military weapons for the battlefield. And when you don't have as much time to train soldiers, it's designed to do the most damage in the least amount of time, right?
No. A shotgun makes more damage than AR-15. An AR-15 has a .223 shell. It makes a little bigger than a quarter-inch hole. In a sheet of paper.
Right, but
that's
you can
it.
Only use a shotgun once, and then you have to reload, correct?
What do you mean you have to reload? No, you don't have to reload.
A shotgun? You get a shotgun is usually one bullet, right?
So is an AR-15. An AR-15 has one bullet. It's one pull.
But, sir, that's
one
people
shot.
Aren't using them like that. They're having magazines with 30, 50, 100
yes.
rounds in them.
You don't have to
fire.
Reload after one bullet.
It has one pull
right.
of the trigger, one shot. You guys are trying to pass laws on opinions when you don't know the facts.
General McChrystal knows.
Right. He's a military dude.
All right. You know what? All right. See, I'm going back to, I'm just arming myself with a sound effects box at home.
There you go.
Because they say that's the scariest thing to a home intruder. Get out. I've got a, right here, it's in my box. I got a. No! Oh.
I got a cuckoo clock and I'm not afraid to use it.
I'm taking my sound effects box home. It's all I need. All right, hang on. I've got a. No! Oh, not that. No. All right, 40. I've got a.
I got a dull stick.
I've got angry dogs. Oh, not Scooby Doo. No! Oh, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Red, white, and Steph. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. To the left.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting back together for the Super Bowl. Destiny's Child.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Except that they'll just be bringing Beyonce water, the other child's.
Yes. Beyonce and her assistants.
51 minutes after the hour.
You just did something.
I just
phlegmed.
Yeah,
what did you do?
I'm sick. I'm traveling. Oh, it's probably. It's a thing. All right. But we are very excited coming to D.C. Very few remaining tickets. Get them for tomorrow night at the Warner Theater. Yep. The big, sexy, liberal palooza with this little this year's show. Yes. Rocky Mountain Mike will be there.
4 years ago.
No, not that one.
Not that one?
No. 18.
Oh,
there you go.
When did you ask for that?
Just a couple minutes ago. Okie dokie.
I want to live a liberal chick. I've been a pining for a fart joke show. She's drinking box wine for such a long time. And she's been working on a fart joke show.
Yeah.
And she's not that old.
Oh, thank you. Good save.
Yeah.
Steph's been working on a fart joke show, and she's not that old.
No, no, not really.
Woo!
Woohoo! Rocky Mountain Mike will be there tomorrow night.
He will.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Oh, wow, this is perfect for the middle of this sea gun debate. Barney the Dinosaur's creator's son arrested for attempted murder.
Oh.
Murder. Yeah, he for allegedly shooting a man in the chest. Huh.
That's.
I love you.
No.
You kill me. No.
That's not.
No.
That's not fun.
No. all right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free. Jeff in D.C. is an NRA member. Hey, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey. General McChrystal, in his statement, if you listen to it, he doesn't mention AR-15. He says M4 and M16 that he carried. And he says they don't belong on the streets. Those are full military weapons. No, they don't belong on the streets. Nor does an AR-15 belong on the streets, but it does belong in the hands of law-abiding citizens like myself. I'm an FFL. I have all kinds of firearms. A .223 is not
SSL?
That powerful of a round.
What's an SSL?
But a federal firearms licensee. So I sell guns. I own guns. A shotgun. You can have a 15-round shotgun with a double-aught buck that would do far more damage than an AR-15. You got to ban psychopaths, not the tool that they use. I mean, if they don't have AR-15s, they'll use shotguns.
How are you going to ban human beings?
Yep.
How are you going to stop? Just by banning guns, how are you going to stop them from killing some psychopaths? Are psychopaths?
Right, but you said ban them. What does that mean?
Yeah.
One guy used fertilizer to kill 168
right,
people.
Right.
There was a guy down in Jonestown that killed 918 people with two words. He didn't use any weapon. He used words. Do we ban the First Amendment?
Okay, how do you ban... But you still didn't answer. How do you ban people? How do you ban psychopaths?
You've also put restrictions on that fertilizer.
Jim Jones said, drink this, and 918 people died. He didn't use any weapons whatsoever. Do we ban the First Amendment?
Okay, I don't. He won't answer. I can't have a debate if you won't answer our question.
We put limits on cyanide.
We put limits on fertilizer.
And we put limits
on
fertilizer. Absolutely.
See, I'd like to have a debate, but he won't answer the question.
No, he won't. He'll just move on to his next point.
How is that a reasonable point? Ban psychopaths. What?
Yeah, his argument was specious from the very beginning.
Yarr. Okay, John in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, Stephanie.
Oh, well, you too. Hello. Hi, John.
Hey there. This is Javik Alpine calling. Hey, I live in Packwood, and I've been an NRA member. And I heard a real disturbing report by his name's Daniel Bichelle on the Truth Seeker on RTT on Russian television. And what he found out is one thing that connects all these recent killings is that they were all taking these antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed them up, the ones Abilify, Zoloft, Chantix, even Chantix, the one that warns you about suicide thoughts and everything when you quit smoking. And he seems to have pointed out a bunch of problems that these particular side effects are much, much worse, much more frequent. So than the pharmaceutical companies
yeah.
have led on
no,
to
I,
believe.
John, I absolutely think that's a component of this. And I got to tell you, you know, we've all been through periods of depression, and I've never wanted to, and I know they've helped some people, but I don't trust them. I mean, I know I had a friend that went off them and killed herself many, many years ago. And
but
I,
even
you
more
know,
disturbing than that is that he was pointing out that when they went to go before the FDA to get these things basically approved, there were the usual shenanigans of big pharma, you know, data repressed, you know, doctored, anything to basically minimize these side effects. And I think they're ending up killing a lot of people.
Yep.
We've had other cases out here where, you know, soldiers coming back have been shooting people up, or there was a Forest Service Ranger killed, and it's just gotten awful.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's a... hey, looky here. Karl Rove has re-signed with Fox News. So they are going to keep making a living at being wrong.
But he was spectacularly bad at punditry.
Multi-year deal to be spectacularly bad at punditry. Isn't that something?
It seems that they don't spend their money wisely over there at Fox News.
Hey, speaking of 2016, Rick Santorum indicated he was open to another presidential run, but several 2016 domain names once owned by the former candidate expired. And he's normally so good with the Internet.
Oh, sure, yeah. God.
Santorum, Google it. He says, by the way, that colleges are indoctrinating students in a sea of antagonism toward Christianity, and marriage equality, abortion, and pornography are all symptoms of the problem.
Okay.
Oh, he shall be missed. Frosty the Centaurum shall be missed in 2016. Oh, won't he? Okay.
Bless his little brown heart.
By the way, Senator Al Franken, who I believe I will see this weekend, he has made it clear in a statement that he does support the principle we should reinstate a ban on assault weapons. He will carefully review any proposal to do that. There was some confusion.
Exactly. I guess a press person of his had said something that was a little ambiguous.
He was in a meeting and hadn't watched the president's press conference, so he wasn't sure exactly what he had, were in all the proposals.
Right.
All right. Oh, I have to do this. Well, maybe I can have T-Bone train Max and Fred. Lady Gaga is teaching her pet dogs how to draw. Her labradoodle. She attaches pens to their legs and puts them on paper. Max and Fred could, you know what? They're big. They could do a Sistine Chapel.
They don't have opposable thumbs.
Well, she just attached the pens to their legs and just, you know.
And what? They skitter across the linoleum? What?
I'm going to be that eccentric in like a minute. You know I am, because I'm already weird.
You're already that eccentric.
So weird.
You are already eccentric. You're the crazy lady on the block that gives out ribbon candy for Halloween.
Shut up! All right. We will see you in D.C., and then we will be broadcasting live from D.C. for the inauguration Monday and Tuesday. We will see you then. Have a great inauguration weekend. See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.